How was your day?
It was good. I saw Priscilla.
How did you like Priscilla?
Sofia Coppola's movies are interesting to me because, like, they're more style over substance. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot to be said about a dynamic between, like, a 14-year-old and however old Elvis was when he met her. Mm. That's definitely what it's
about. So they talk to... If it's about Priscilla, they kind of address all the uncomfortable things, all the uncomfortable details. Because when they made an Elvis movie with Baz Luhrmann and... They're like Elvis has kind of posthumously been canceled for appropriation or whatever you want to call it. So I was like, they're making an Elvis movie. I was like, ooh, is it going to be like the Let's Cancel Elvis movie? And it was just like this fantastical fever dream of like the most
highlighted. Well, they show how he appreciated black music.
Sure.
But yeah, they definitely, I think most of the film is centered on the kind of the marital discontent of it all. Mm. And Sofia Coppola explores the idea of like gilded cages, I think, like in all of her movies.
A Doll's House.
Yeah.
Which is like a story. It's like, but it's kind of the classic story of the kept woman in this case, you know.
Right.
Kept,
breaking free or trying to.
Who's like technically in what's supposed to be a great setup. Right?
Yeah.
You have a man who pays for everything and he's
and the dreamiest person on the on the planet.
Right. Which is a literal prison.
I've said it before, good dick is a prison.
Good, like having it or getting it or both, to be honest.
Probably both. I wouldn't know the former the way you would, but certainly having it, yeah, or getting it, I should say, is a prison.
It's all a prison.
So is Guantanamo Bay.
Oh my gosh. We're the Guantanamo Bay's podcast.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
Great segue.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I saw an opening and I snatched it.
I know. I was like, oh shit, we're doing a podcast. Like, here I am talking about
and
Priscilla
usually,
Presley.
Yeah, we could keep talking about Priscilla a little longer. I certainly could. It was stunning.
Oh, okay.
Sofia Coppola's movies are stunning.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell she just wants to, like, immerse herself in that time and place of whatever.
What are some of your favorite Sofia Coppola films?
Obviously, The Virgin Suicides, which
haven't
put her on
it.
The map.
Haven't
really? It's really dreamy. I feel like it's a nice kind of distillation of her style that you'd see moving forward. Marie Antoinette's good, but honestly, and this one wasn't very well received, but I loved Somewhere. Stephen Dorff plays this, like, Johnny Knoxville-esque character. Apparently she based it on Johnny Knoxville and his daughter, which I'm not sure of. I don't know if I believe that. But he's another gilded cage. He's just this like listless actor that lives in the Chateau Marmont.
That's
which
funny.
You know, I love me some CM, baby.
It also reminds me of this 30 Rock moment where Tracy Morgan's entourage does like a book, like a movie review, a weekly movie review.
Uh-huh.
And the guy Grizz, who's like in his entourage, just stands up and he's just like, you wouldn't expect a movie called Somewhere to go absolutely nowhere.
And like, I think I remember that line.
Yeah, it was just funny. But that's what I think of when I think of Somewhere. And you're talking about how Sofia Coppola films are just like, you know, gilded cages kind of with that kind of, I don't want you to say, you don't say that they go nowhere, but you're kind of bored by them is what
it
sounds like.
Yeah. And I think when I really enjoy films on a visceral level, there's a lot of like movement. And I don't mean that in like the Marvel like spectacular sense.
What about Baz Luhrmann's Elvis? Out of the two Elvis movies, which one is
most of Baz Luhrmann's movies for me go down like cough syrup. Like it's just so viscous.
Although we all love Moulin Rouge.
Love Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 10 in Texas.
He's been stretching out this career for 20 years because everyone wants to have their minds blown the way we did when we first saw Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. I liked Elvis okay.
Right.
I thought Austin Butler was really good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas this Elvis played by Jacob Elordi from Euphoria, you know, the dreamboat from Euphoria, the tall guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perfect
he's just,
eyebrows.
He's just like crazy like Elvis. Like, I just don't see him as Elvis necessarily.
Well, it's good because he's a dreamboat, like in real life.
Yeah,
like,
he's a dreamboat for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't have the blue eyes, but I think in a way that made him almost more sinister, like that they took away that.
It's funny how they're like, knowing that this is a movie about Elvis and Priscilla Presley, they're still just like kind of cosplaying as like, well, we want you to be this mean version of Elvis, you know?
I don't think Sofia Coppola directs it that overtly.
Not that heavy-handed, but it's like, it's still more sinister, right? It's yeah. still more, there's a suggestion, and because he's also a really sinister guy in Euphoria, so there's that.
That's true, of, yeah. yeah, yeah. And well, Priscilla Presley produced, was an executive producer on this, so...
People it's always...
It's not very demeaning of Elvis.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. But it's still like...
she loved him.
Yeah. But people put too much premium on if a singer or an actor signs off on their biopic. Because I'm like, I don't want this guy's input. Like, in a way, I'm kind of like...
Yeah.
You're going to make your own propaganda. When people said that Elton John signed off on his autobiography, I was like, okay, yay. But then when I saw it, I was like, dude... I wanted this movie to be so good, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like Woody Allen's kids producing the whole docuseries on HBO about how he raped Dylan, his daughter. Like, the family produced
Oh, Woody that. Allen.
You thought I was talking about Elvis?
I was thinking of Woody Harrelson.
Oh, Woody Harrelson?
Like, what no, is Texas, out there?
But although, I don't know. Whatever. I'm not about
He's to got a good him. Reputation.
Yeah, he seems very lovely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have fucked me up.
But we could talk about Hollywood all day, which is why we make this sometimes Cuba-specific, because we don't talk about Cuba every day.
It's got to be Cuba-specific, because it's the Guantanamo Bays. Our mothers are from Cuba. That's our mother's land. So every week, we have news from the motherland. Did I blow your
fucking
mind?
Did you feel your brain explode?
Yeah. This is where we read... Well, each of us present a story, usually, about what happened in Cuba this week. You have the story this week, Julian. What happened in the world of the island nation of Cuba?
Well, Kenya ended this program where they swapped doctors with Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Cuban doctors were being paid, I think, a monthly salary of $5,300, more than double the average salary of the Kenyan doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, like, and Kenya signed off on this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
it's been a long-standing program.
Yeah, since 2017.
Mm. Okay, I thought... So Cuba's had some... Not just humanitarian involvement in Africa, but also military involvement. Russia's mm-hmm. been causing all sorts of... you know, depending on who you ask, issues in Africa. Like, they've definitely had their hands in, like, even a lot of recent coups. But since the 70s in the Soviet Union, especially in Eastern Africa, Cuba sent... troops to help Russian troops who were warring in Ethiopia. So Cuba's been pretty involved in Africa before, but it sounds like, you know, for the quote-unquote anti-colonialist project that Cuba is, as a and tries to be as a government, it's like they came to Kenya and kind of colonized their medical industry. And then
I don't know if you could say they colonized it. I mean, well, it's not like they're the only doctors.
Well, if you come into a place and then you're you know, you kind of... Gentrify is a really reductive word for it, but if you come into a place and then start out earning your contemporaries who are citizens of that country,
right?
You know, it's kind of a form. It's a form of financial colonization.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of fair. It's no different than kind of how your money goes so far.
And people tend to conflate communism with being like anti-imperialist, and that's just not the case historically.
Not from governments that claim to be communists.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, you see the bag, you try to take it, you try to secure it.
Yeah, there's still a
geopolitical... There's no way to not be a participant in, like, this globalized
There's still an system. Agenda. There's yeah. an agenda, yeah. And I think you're kind of naive if you just kind of turn your brain off to that. And,
agreed.
Yeah. But, hey, it's, you know, it's so funny. Every week we have some story from Cuba. Sometimes it's, like, the Cuban government, sometimes it's also good stuff that they're doing.
Yeah. You
know? So it's like we kind of have always like a pro or a con.
¿Por qué no los dos? To quote the Tostitas girl once again.
Who's our unofficial mascot, frankly.
Totally.
Yeah. She should solve Israel-Palestine. She should solve Russia-Ukraine.
She's like, I'm out of the game. I wonder where she's at.
She's like, más misos por Ukraine, por favor. It's like, damn, she's such a fucking war hawk. Did not know this about her.
But I'm just confused as to why Kenya would help architect this plan or, like, participate in it, I guess.
Well, I think sometimes it looks like a good deal on paper, like China's Belt and Road Initiative. This was, like, this massive global infrastructure project that you know, maybe some countries don't read the fine print or read between the lines, or they're like, oh, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. If China's this huge, massive role, global player, I would love it if they built my roads in my country.
Yeah.
But a lot of countries have opted out of their renewal of the Belt and Road Initiative. So it's like, here's another thing. Capitalists will at least know how to keep a deal going, even if it's a shiesty deal. Communists will come with a deal that's just like...
it just falls apart.
Looks good, falls totally apart, and then it's like, well, we're going to move on from this. Cuba. Yeah, we're going to move on from this.
Well, I guess the Kenyan doctors were like, Cuba sounds nice. You know, not to like shit talk Kenya, but it is one of those... quote shithole countries, right?
That Trump was
referring to. But I've spent time in Africa, so I love it.
So I say that out of love.
I say that affectionately. Although I've never been to Kenya.
Fair enough. You go to Kenya, like, whoa, this is bad. No, Kenya, we love you.
It seems pretty far along.
Yeah, it's fairly
capital.
I mean, Africa. You know, Africa is a place that has people and buildings. Like, people cities just assume. They think of Africa as a monolith. Like, it's only black people in villages.
Yeah, it's only like, the savannah.
No, it is. It is massive. Egypt is Africa. That is different from sub-Saharan Africa, which is different from South Africa.
Yeah.
But people be wilding in these streets. That much is for sure. It don't have to be in Africa.
Yeah. Well, also, Cuban doctors were being paid $5,300, American dollars. That's good work if they could get it.
Wait, when they were working in Kenya?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was their monthly salary.
Which is likely way more than they'd ever get working in Cuba.
Yeah. So in a way, I guess, Kenya don't give a fuck because it's just kind of draining them of... they're not getting as much as the Cuban doctors, so they don't care if the Cuban doctors have to go back to a lower paying job.
But it seems like it was an issue with the doctors' union. Maybe the Kenyan government was like for it because maybe they had the money to subsidize and they needed the medical support. I don't know what the full details of what they were and weren't doing, but the doctors' union was like, this is wrong, and got enough support that they were able to end the program.
Yeah, like obviously resources are being misallocated if there's that big a pay discrepancy between Cuban and Kenyan doctors.
Yeah, yeah. But, it's only the Cuban and Kenyan government. What corruption? What corruption's possible?
Is it okay if I say not my circus, not my monkeys?
No, not in this case. You got to be very careful using that phrase.
I was using that with the Israeli-Palestinian situation.
No, you just can't.
And if it's any ethnicity, you cannot refer to them as monkeys.
It has to be white. You can only refer to them as monkeys, even playfully, colloquially, like...
Only if it's white people.
Oh, totally. Especially if you're white, But not my circus, not my monkeys is like, I get the phrase.
How would you react if a black person called you a monkey?
Not at all. Like, I'd have nothing to react to. I'd laugh
like a fucking monkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what I am.
I would do a mat. I would shit and throw the shit on a wall and be like, here's your monkey.
Yeah, well, that's
And it would get assault. Really violent. Yeah. It would get really, really violent. No, I really wouldn't have any reaction. I'd probably find it funny. I'd be like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Have you thought of stand-up?
Yeah. I love when... I don't know if black people have, like, overtly put me down, but I feel like if... I don't know. I think I'd be receptive to it. I'd be like, reparations, continue.
Yeah, no, I have such... Like, I don't know if I've told you in the past that I'm, like, always worried about moving around or, like... Sooner than tell someone to move out of my way, I'd like walk around a room. That's just how my white guilt manifests itself. It's a white, straight male guilt.
Yeah.
That manifests itself in just me being a total puss and not asking or, asking for more than is like just right in front of me. Like, yeah, in terms of hard work and like my goals, that's one thing. But in terms of like, if I'm in an interaction around people, I'm like, I have the least leeway to really ask for anything out of this group of people I'm with.
Yeah, that's a stark difference between the way we communicate. Don't you think?
Yeah, but maybe...
Like, I have to really read your body language closely to like get a good read of what you're thinking.
Really?
Whereas me, it's like, I come in hot. You know immediately.
Yeah. You say that you've been frustrated by the fact that I don't... wear my emotions on my sleeve or that I don't...
Well, only when it lends itself to, like, a lack of communication at a time when, like, I would like to know what's going on. Oh, yeah.
Like what? Is there a recent example?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. I don't know. The one that's coming to mind we don't have to talk about.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just call the whole thing off, like, this doctor swap. Go back to Cuba.
Okay. Okay, you can tell me about my personal shortcomings after we hang up.
After we hang up?
The microphones and call it a day. Okay. It's an expression for ending a podcast. I was
like, the people listening to this will be like, they're doing this all over the phone?
Oh my God.
What crisp audio quality.
Their chemistry's so good. It's like they're in person.
I don't really know much else. What else to say about this, to be
you
honest.
You wrote in this note, this deal was made in 2017. We were a different world back then.
We were, well, dude.
Of course we were. I mean, I know that. It's just really funny to see that note written out the way that it is.
Like, my American-centric mind is like, well, clearly this doctor swap program was like a response to Trump.
It's like, no. Julian.
Didn't even know who the fuck was president.
No. Well, they knew it's president.
They knew. Everyone especially knows. With that monkey. I will call Donald Trump a monkey.
See, Donald Trump, he can call a monkey. He literally does.
He looks like an orangutan.
And act like an orangutan. So that's, I think, appropriate. The judges, yes. Even the Russian judge gives you the thumbs up.
Wait, what? Oh, you were looking at a panel of judges across the room?
Exactly. Gotcha. Russians are notoriously difficult judges when they are judging non-Russians in any Olympic event.
Mm. Oh, speaking of, I broke up with my hairstylist. I know you told me I shouldn't. I just told him, hey, I'm in a tough financial situation right now, but when I get more money, I'd love to see you again.
You sent me the draft of the text.
But that was a different draft. Today I like landed on it and I was like, I don't even have to run this by Brian. That's how assured I was.
Wow, you must have been very confident.
The guy who helps me write cover letters and spiff up resumes. This one I was like, you know what? I got it.
You know what, Julian? You're an adult. You're 32. You know how to break up with your own barber.
And if that Russian faggot wants to get angry about it, have at me.
Well, so what happened? What happened?
Well, he's just too expensive.
Yeah, no, he's too expensive, but how did he respond?
Oh, I don't know. He's probably still working. I haven't looked at my phone yet.
I thought
but everyone,
story,
including our listeners, waits with bated breath.
I know. Is that the news from the motherland?
I suppose so. The other news story was that a three-story building in Havana collapsed, killing three people.
Right. The infrastructure is bad.
Yeah, because of the embargo. Jinx.
We know this.
If we had a penny every time this conversation spiraled back to the fact that this embargo just has neutered everything over there.
We'd have like 8 pennies plus, like maybe a dozen.
Way more. I feel like it's almost weekly that the embargo comes up. Probably. For every episode we've had, we would have a penny.
So we wouldn't even have.
It'd be dollars, bitch.
No.
No, maybe not. I don't know math.
It'd be about a third of a dollar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Enough for a stick of gum.
Y'all were in our third... our third decade of episodes, not age decade, like
third decade. 10. Oh, I see. Decade, like we're in the 30s 10 of now. Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Good for us.
Yeah, totally. But I was like, why am I so old? I was like, I'm 62 years old.
We've gotten no new followers in all these years.
Yeah, exactly. And I look like John Lithgow up in this bitch.
playing Winston Churchill in The Crown.
Damn.
Yeah.
I hope to never look like that.
No, that's rough.
They made him look worse than Winston Churchill.
I don't know, man. I thought it was pretty accurate.
Too hot a take.
I thought it was pretty accurate. Yeah, I mean, I feel like every Winston Churchill biopic kind of really leans into his obesity more and more. Like, every biopic, he gets fatter and older. And... you know, and for the time, you know, it was the 40s. No one was really fat back then. So, yeah, he would be like this grotesque.
Brendan Fraser.
As the whale.
The whale.
As Winston Churchill.
Nice, sir. You needed a monster to defeat Hitler. I was that monster.
Is that your Brendan Fraser as Winston Churchill? That's not terrible.
Then I'll say yes.
I should have waited and sat on my hands for once, not giving you the compliment.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But anytime someone asks me, is that your impression of blank? I assume it's because it was like, not a very good impression.
Well, yeah. I'd give it about a 60. Six decades. Yeah.
6 decades for the impression. All right. What do you want to do next?
Well, I want to go somewhere where stuff just makes more sense.
Oh.
You know? Where Cuba's embargo's been lifted.
Israel and Palestine well in the coexist peacefully.
And I could also weasel my way into a Palestinian birthright, the same way I'm told I could do a Jewish birthright.
No, man. I wouldn't want that. just because there'd just be too much of a direct comparison with Birthright. And it's like, man, one of those is way better funded.
If Cuba could be colonial, why not Palestine?
Why?
It's like, because it's rubble.
It is kind of the, once again, live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Like, Israel was the anti...
Right.
The decolonization of, you know, this people who've been historically oppressed.
Yeah, and then turned around and persecuted this whole other...
You only think that you are better now. Okay. So I have a couple fun headlines for you. This is the segment where I read Julian a headline.
What's it called, the segment?
The World According to Jules.
That's the kind of world I want to live in.
I read Julian a headline, and he gives me his 30 to 60 seconds of purely unfiltered thoughts. I want no thinking going into these responses. Are you ready, Julian?
I'll try my best. I've been thinking so much today.
Okay. We'll turn that brain off for a second and just speak, boy. Your first headline. You're hurting my arm. Your first headline from the AP News. Greek army destroys World War II bomb found during excavation for luxury development near Athens. Your thoughts?
I love destroying bombs. Yes to love, to quote
Miranda,
our guest Miranda. It's unfortunate that they destroyed it because it was getting in the way of a luxury complex. I have to drive around Los Angeles looking at these ugly ass, like, neo-modern, not even, like, it's like postmodern. I've talked about Ashton Kutcher's Barnyard House. Like, I see that shit everywhere, and it's ugly. Why don't we just destroy WW2 bombs, like, as a spectacle, you know? Like, I think it'd be cool if museums could just, like, invite families from all over, and then they just set off the bomb.
Now, here's some details. The urban development project will include a park, shopping malls, hotels, a casino, and multiple leisure facilities near the seaside Glyfada area, south of the capital. Due to be completed in 2026, isn't it kind of crazy that, like, Athens, one of the oldest cities of all time, it's like there's still... Greece has had his issues with the banking sector, famously. But isn't it kind of crazy that Athens is, like, still parts of it can be gentrified?
Yeah, totally. And also, it's a city that's, like, built on, like, excavation and then preserving.
Right.
So I'm like, come on, just, like, paint it white and, like, put it next to the Acropolis.
the bomb.
The bomb.
It's part of history. Yeah. It was destroyed without a detonation. 500-pound bomb was destroyed without a detonation.
Are bombs lighter now?
I don't know.
Probably I don't know heavier. Either.
No, 500 doesn't seem that heavy for a bomb. It's just like when you really get... Because I don't know. When I think of a bomb, maybe I think of like... It's like a metal tube that I could potentially lift up or whatever.
Yeah.
This when I see this, I'm like, okay, well, this is like pretty freaking big if you can't lift it. You know, like that's... It's just... It is a piece of really terrifying history.
Yeah. It's kind of beautiful that... All of these little remnants of this really divided time in Europe are slowly kind of, they're slowly kind of excising it in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously Europe still has its fair share of like racism, but talk about a group of people that refer to people as monkeys. I mean, like, I feel like it's casual in like sports commentary and stuff.
Famously, Spain was always a really horrible country and they'd have African players and like you're calling your own African players like your players.
And this doesn't change that.
Yeah.
But I'm culturally Catholic, as I like to say, and I do believe in the power of being not admonished, absolved, absolution. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like a weird spiritual absolution that's at play when you're like, you know, taking these bombs out of the ground and destroying them.
Like you feel like you're working your way into heaven by destroying
them. I don't. That's why I said cultural Catholic. But I just mean the idea of absolution and being able to move forward and sort of excise these darker parts of you and your identity and your past.
All right.
Next headline.
A poison specialist named Connor Bowman fatally poisoned his pharmacist wife and tried to stop autopsy. Your thoughts?
I think the only way to poison someone is if you're dressed like Poison Ivy, the way I was for Halloween when I was like 8 years old. I didn't poison anyone, but I fucking could have. I was snatched. I was eating. I was gagged, bound, bewitched, bedazzled, bewildered. I was stunning. And, I mean, also, like, own it, bitch. Like, he's just trying to get in the way. That's something else Poison Ivy would do. It's in the name. And he's, like, trying to, like, surreptitiously stop this investigation. Like, shut up. We were talking about manning up and standing by your choices. Well, then stand by your choice, bitch.
Yeah, like, blow some kind of vague Poison Ivy pattern to their face so that they fall in love with you.
Yeah, and then sick and then you Bane kiss on them. Yeah. And then they peel off this extra layer and they go, fake lips.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that plot twist?
Yeah, exactly. That George Clooney pulled off.
Chris, right? O'Donnell.
Chris
the Robin.
He's the one that she kissed?
Yeah.
And oh, wow.
Because he's like, which is such a non-believable, like, pair on screen, I
feel. Uma Thurman
like.
And Chris O'Donnell. Zero chemistry.
Right?
I think the only qualification back then was, are you white? And then it was like, because we need a lot of white actors in this movie. And, yeah.
Anyway. So he, like, she, like, woos him, and then at the end he tricks her, and because she has a poisonous kiss.
And then Batman and Robin save the day yet again.
Yeah, spoiler.
There's a really bad Bane fight in there. Bane, they did Bane dirty.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. That is high camp, that film.
That's uber high camp.
Yeah, I loved it, and I still do.
The name is Freeze. Remember it well, for it's a chilling sound of your doom.
That one's not as good as your Brendan Fraser's Winston Churchill. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
But...
let's kick some ice.
I understand the appeal, though, of poisoning someone versus, like, shooting them. Because that just seems so barbaric.
But I think once you start seeing them suffer from the poison, though, that's seems really terrible.
Well, then you go in with a cloth dipped in chloroform.
To make it easier?
Yeah, just kind of lights out.
All right.
Well. And that's the night the lights went out in Georgia.
One man play by Julian Goza.
No, it's that monologue from Designing Women, which I actually played for you once, like it's all 3 minutes.
Well, anyway. I don't remember it.
I could play for you again. It's like definitely like RuPaul canon at this point.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For taking us to the world according to Jules. Sorry, we're spinning out here. It's time for our next segment, which
space
is
cold. I guess we'll go to
Boogie Boogie Bum Bum. Boogie 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 Bum Bum. What happens?
Boogie Boogie Bum Bum is where I read Brian a headline and he has to think of a song that it reminds him of. Mm. Let's see if I could find my place here. Oh, okay. So, javelinas were tearing up the Seven Canyons Golf Club in Arizona, which is located in the middle of Coconino National Forest.
Hmm.
And so it went viral on Twitter. Like, a lot of the people that work the grounds and stuff were like, please, like, if someone knows how to get rid of these pests and, like, how to contact the governor, like, let us know. Pretty much just calling for these javelinas to be genocided up in here.
Sure, sure.
I
have the perfect song.
You do?
The perfect song. It is from Black Sabbath.
Okay.
A song called War Pigs. Let me take my speaker.
In the meantime, I gotta find mine frantically. As the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. So good.
Y'all get the idea. Just such, dare I say, is it my favorite Black Sabbath song? Am I just now coming
That's
to
a good
this
one.
Conclusion? It's a great one. Obviously, double meaning here, because War Pigs are the hawks, right? The hawks in the government that bomb places, and we don't like that. So they're pigs. And also in this context, war is being declared on pigs.
Mm.
It's very layered. It might be a little too highbrow for our listeners, but that is my answer, and I stick by it.
I love that, and that is a great Black Sabbath song.
Thank you. Yours. I like this band that you're about to play, too.
Yeah, Pixies. I actually saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, and they were fantastic.
All right.
That's like Gen X excellence.
You know what, though? Here,
Gen X.
Jules, don't play it on the laptop because we're recording.
Oh.
So that's hard. But I will pull up the song, Javelina by the Gypsies, or by the Pixies.
By the Gypsies! You just love shoehorning that word anytime you can.
That's not true. Because I was my mind went to Gypsy Kings, the you know, Spanish guitar band.
Yeah.
So.
But why would you ever compare them to the Pixies?
Fine. The word gypsy was on my mind.
There it is.
I don't even know if that's true. It's just what happened, okay? And the Romani people need to be talked about.
That was some of, like, burgeoning Stoner Julian's shit when he was, like, 18, 19. Just putting on that record. plugging in my vape, my Volcano. Remember those fucking things?
Oh, man, yeah.
It was, like, $400 things.
That was peak smoking.
Yeah.
It was a Volcano.
Yeah, back when it meant something.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So you're obviously pro Javelina and not... Because golf courses are horrible anyway.
Well, frankly... they are quite the nuisance.
They're awful.
No. Well,
and how are you going to build one in the middle of a national park and then expect animals to stay out? Fuck them.
It's another self-fulfilling prophecy because a lot of times they put a bounty on the pigs' heads, which now gives the farmers incentive to feed the pigs so that they reproduce. So now the farmers, it's like they put a bounty on the
head. In Arizona?
Well, this has been anywhere there's ever been a
pig
bounty or a deer bounty.
I think... At my parents' ranch,
they did this in Texas.
They have some javelinas that fuck everything up.
Yeah.
So my dad hates them. But again, we're not running, I don't know. It's like, but a golf course, just fuck it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never have any sympathy for a golf course. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
Those could be homes.
I'm too working class.
Says the person who, like, loves highways and freeways. But yeah. I'm like, all that space could be, you know, tracks of homes.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to feel bad for any golf course, but... If I work hard and I paid my dues and I get javelinas tearing up.
My literal golf dues.
Yeah, I pay my literal dues, javelinas tearing up.
Like, and there are no Jews at this country club, damn it.
Yeah, because sometimes you just...
Because it's Arizona.
You just want your own space sometimes, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Also the gall to even build that in the National Forest, the fact the government signed off on that, like I want to see receipts. Like, who paid for that land? And
this goes all the way to the top.
This goes all the way to the top, baby.
Well, thank you for that.
Speaking of tops, I guess that brings us to our next segment.
The
gay item of the week.
Beep, beep.
I promise one day I'll do the beep, beep with you. I'd just like to see you say it.
Sounds good. So back when this podcast started... Julian is such a queer little munchkin that I like that. Exactly. He's proving my point. Thank you. Okay, Julian, munchkin it down a little bit while I explain the segment. I always want to know what's happening in the queer world. That's what a good ally does. So I was like, bring me a gay item of the week, like a news item, a story.
Brian is such an ally that I wanted to match that energy. So when he asked us to shoot some hoops on Sunday, I was like, I felt like shit that day, but I was like, you know what, bitch? Yes. Like, you go to Pride, I'll go to the basketball court.
Julian was quite the ally shooting hoops with me on Saturday. He was a real homie, and he made a few.
I did make a few, much to my amazement, and then much to my chagrin, a Russian trainer nearby saw me not make it and was like, that was terrible.
Yeah, he really...
I was like, fuck you, this isn't really my thing.
He really fucked up your Sunday in that moment.
I'm like, if you got some popsicle sticks, I'll make some fat art for you, bitch.
Friend of the podcast, Chris Villa, had posted about your little hop. Like, because I posted a video on our Instagram of you shooting hoops, and I
dragging all this pussy across the basketball court.
I loved that moment where when you made it, you did a little hop that I definitely wanted to keep that. So I'm glad that Chris definitely noticed that.
She always catches my best moments. I love Chris.
Yeah,
if you're hearing this, Chris, we're fans.
We're fans.
But anyway, gay item of the week.
Gay item of the week. So, you know, once upon a time, I was like, bring me a gay item. He brought a physical item. And so ever since then, he brings a physical item and a news item. So what do you want to do first, physical or news?
Let's do the physical item first.
All right. I'm going to take a sip of whiskey.
Please do. The gay physical item of the week is this tote that my mom bought me with mermaids on it that says, happy love, be happy love.
Wow.
Isn't that so stunning?
When...
This is like my most middle-aged woman attribute is that I fucking love mermaids.
Yeah. Like a middle-aged woman living in Key West.
Totally. That is absolutely...
Like Daytona Beach. Like she paints mammal life and sells it at local art fairs.
Yeah.
You know.
You know the type. You sell to those type. People all the time.
I just
company.
Brought one on board today.
Yeah, it is Key West as fuck. It's so cute. I love that my mom knows me well enough to get
when did
me
she
this,
send
like,
this
coral pink tote. I think I got it for Christmas.
like most like this most recent year.
Recently, yeah.
It's such a great item for you. Home run as far as like taste is concerned, like matching a gift to your taste.
Totally.
Great job, Aunt Carmen. You really nailed it with this one.
That's so cute. And also it was convenient because I had to bring my tripod.
And it's gay as hell.
It's so gay. I mean, it's not even gay. This is just like womanly. This is like not even for anyone
this is
queer.
This is grandma. This is grandma queer.
Yeah, this is a little viejita.
This is, yeah.
All I need is our little chanclas going to the mercado.
Oh my God. It's like, why do our tastes like go to that stuff when we're old? It's inevitable. Like we will love this stuff when we're old,
you know, and it's already there.
I know. Which means like, just imagine how much more you're going to lean into it 30 years
from. I wonder what your aesthetic will be when you're that old.
I've always wondered. I'm like, how do I dress when
leather couches everywhere.
Yeah.
Rows and rows of them.
It's going to be like a lot of stuff I do, just cringingly straight and just like, why would he make those choices? And I'm like, well, it's practical. It makes sense for me. And I
but
like it.
But also in my brain, I'm like, but it is the future. So it looks like the Back to the Future Part 2 house, you know, like a plant that like comes out of the ceiling, like on this like lower, on this little.
Even in the future, it'll still be cringingly like hetero.
Yeah, especially because the supply chain right now is like completely broken and stuff. So it'll look literally like it looks right now. Like the
cycles, assume no new stuff will be made in the next 20 years.
The cycles of trends, I feel like, are slowing down because production can't keep up.
I don't know, man. I feel like they just continue to speed up.
I guess, but it's all been done before. To quote Pryor from Angels in America, it's something you learn after your second themed party. It's all been done before.
After your second themed party?
Yeah.
That's so funny. The first. That's a great quote from Angels in America.
Everything in that. That's one of the best plays ever written.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
So that's a physical item.
Yes. And the gay news item of the week involves your boy. I don't know what team you're aligned with in the NFL, but Nick Bosa, who's a 49er.
Sure.
We were watching, I was watching Brian watch a football game a few days ago, and the 49ers run screen, but it had an SF. They have SF on the uniforms, which is very misleading to a plebe like me that knows nothing about sports. And I go, oh, those are the Giants, right?
Oh, SF.
And Brian was impressed. He was like, San Francisco does have Giants, but that's a different sport.
Oh, that's baseball, Julian. So close.
I was like, okay.
It was like your kid who's like learned how to put blocks in the right hole, but it's like the wrong color or something like that. Like, oh, so close, buddy.
Keep trying.
But no one needs to know the names of, you know, various teams and stuff like that. It's like.
Thank you.
It's all, you know, it's like, you wouldn't get mad at me for not knowing who won Project Runway.
No.
Yeah.
Also, I haven't watched that in 10 years, so.
Right. Well, you know.
But I'd be curious to hear if you knew. I'm like, well, tell me about him.
I don't.
But Nick Bosa, who is with the San Francisco Giants, just kidding, the 49ers.
He is. His brother, Joey Bosa, also plays still in the NFL. He played. I don't know if he retired.
Was their dad a football player or just?
I don't know. It's just a big old football family.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Kim Kardashian named him one of the faces of her Skims men's campaign.
Uh-huh.
And people were actually really upset about it because apparently he has a politically dubious outlook on things.
Yeah, I mean, so does Tom Brady. Tom Brady wears MAGA hats and he's still on the cover of.
Yes. I challenge you to name me one football player that's like overtly lefty.
There's openly gay NFL players.
There are?
I
thought the one guy was killed or taken out
back. Well, one wasn't particularly good. The first one that ever came out when he was being drafted, his name was Michael Sam.
And, yes. He's so cute.
Yeah, he turned out to not be that good. But then Carl.
Because he's gay.
No, but Carl Nassib, who I think he just retired or he's like kind of on the back end of his career. He's a total beast, defensive end.
What's his name? Let me look him up and see if he's hot.
You will find him attractive.
What's he called?
Just look up N-A-S here.
Yeah, please spell it for me. Yeah, Nassib.
Yeah, that's your last name. He came out while he was playing in the NFL and was also one of its best players.
I'm going to say you set the bar high by typing in Nassib because you know I love my Baba Ganoush. Yeah. And then what I see before me is such a Brent.
He looks a lot more Johnny America.
Yes.
Than a Nassib.
He is good looking. Going back to Nick Bosa.
Go ahead.
I think Nick Bosa is better looking.
Probably.
But way less gay, apparently.
yeah, because he is not gay.
Well, he's not gay and not just that, but he's like apparently kind of homophobic.
Right. Well, then that means he is gay.
Well, yeah.
Do you think there are any homophobes that are not gay?
Yeah, I do. I do. But
most of them are.
I don't know how to qualify that.
Sure.
Don't put me in that position to speak so generally.
Oh, we're just having the Gatton of the Week here. So God forbid I ask.
But the... So we had a friend that deleted several Instagram posts.
Where he liked some unsavory stuff. Stuff that was, you know, racist, sexually violent.
Yeah, the friend posted these Instagram posts that Nick Bosa liked. One of them, the hashtag is the N-word. Mm-hmm. N-words, mm-hmm. Excuse me, how dare I?
Right. N-words.
N-words.
Just so you know, they pluralized it. How
disrespectful of me to not just pluralize so you know. It. And he said, but for me, the most egregious thing, he likes Donald Trump, mm-hmm. which again, not that startling for the NFL, but he also thinks Ronald Reagan is the best president of all time, which tells me he's just a fucking idiot. Yeah. Sorry to our Miami Guantanamo Bays guys, but that man is broken.
I mean, Reagan is greatly revered in the people who think he was a good president. He convinced a lot of people he was a good president.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like all of our issues right now could like pretty much... Can be squarely traced to Reagan, at least with like income being
a lot of our modern issues.
Yeah,
yeah. In terms of
yeah, less protection as consumers,
as people,
yeah.
Geopolitical snafus and boondoggles and coups, et cetera, et cetera. Destabilization. That's Yale Gipper. That's for sure.
And when he so he was the number 2 draft pick in 2019.
Yeah.
And was congratulated by Trump,
mm-hmm. Who called him a big talent and encouraged him to stay true to himself in San Francisco. That's such a...
Stay true to yourself in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's so...
I'll tell you what I told Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Stay true to yourself in San Francisco.
No matter how hard they make it for you, Mike.
Because you're going to see some hot, hung guys, and you can't fuck any of them, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And they know you're on the DL. They're very good with guys on the DL.
And meanwhile, the number 1 pick, Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. Whose father's black and mother's half Korean, got no such praise from Trump. Shocking.
That's also funny that like part of this article is like he got praise from Trump while this guy didn't.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to ask, did he give praise to the number 1 draft pick?
Well, but Kyler Murray's likely, and I know Kyler's a little bitch, but Kyler Murray I don't think has ever tweeted any pro Trump stuff. You know, so Trump likes him because he's a fan of his.
You're right. Yeah, I think it's kind of minimizes Trump to just say he's racist.
Right.
He just likes sycophants.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the race.
Yeah, if Kyler Murray tweeted pro-Trump stuff, he'd be so excited to be like, I have this black Korean number 1 quarterback draft pick. He'd be all over that shit.
Totally.
But Kyler chose wrong. He went to A&M and then OU. And and has clauses in his contract. So this was actually called
the
race.
Name Kyler is like nails on the chalkboard for me.
It really is. Kyler Murray actually is famously such a huge fan of the video game series Call of Duty that he has clauses in his contract that when he's playing, he can only play so much Call of Duty, and he needs to like spend time studying game film.
So Kyler's straight as well.
Yeah, Kyler is straight. I will not dispute that. And and people call that clause in his contract racist. They're like, oh, they're just trying to monitor him because he's a black quarterback. But it's
like, no, it's a huge problem of his.
He has problems.
Wean him off the game. He
has problems. Wow. Yeah.
Also, Nick Bosa confirms he doesn't like Beyonce. Thought her show was disrespectful when she played the halftime show. Just shit like that. That I'm like, dude, stop being such a like grumpy old man.
Yeah. Well, grumpy old man, like a little bitch. Like, I don't know, man. Playing this level like team sports, and like if you are a football star who feels attacked by black America daring to like protest their situation in the US, you're just like, shut up and like Trump, then you're actually quite the pussy.
Yeah.
Right? You're actually quite the little bitch that you claim to not be.
Yeah.
So I actually Nick Bosa has had this reputation. This isn't if you follow football, you know this about Nick Bosa.
Well, obviously I don't. And yeah. Gaze, who saw all of these ads of him for this Kim Kardashian men's line,
right,
were thirsting over him. So it was this funny like whiplash.
No, he hates you guys. Stop it.
Yeah, even though you know that the more attraction he gets from gays, the likelier we are to.
You know
him.
What? And I call
we
this.
Shall have him yet.
So, man, they're doing a mad football psyop with mainstream America. Like, football's already the most popular sport in America, but the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift psyop, this and you know this collaboration with Kim Kardashian. It's like 5 to 6 years ago, the whole narrative of football was it's too dangerous, concussions are killing people, and we need to abolish this sport. Mm-hmm. Now the narrative is we need to get girls to play football. Now I'm like, why do you want to give women brain damage? And it's because it's gotten so popular globally that now the NFL wants to put a team in London. You know, they want to, it's just, it's crazy how it's blown up, even though all the science shows how dangerous it is.
Well, not to say Taylor Swift is like a paragon of the left, but it is interesting to see like a more liberal media faction kind of combine forces with like Heartland Entertainment.
And it's not an accident.
No, it's not. There's money to be made.
And also,
it's the same reason Taylor Swift's apolitical and appeals to
exactly. And Taylor sides. Swift is also
her ideology is money.
Yeah.
You know, and I did see the Eras Swift the Eras Tour movie, all 3.5 hours or whatever. Had a grand old time.
See, that's why the right and the left drinks. Should get along. We all just love money.
Yeah.
Like, get along, people. We all have different methods and philosophies on how to get it and how to distribute it. But
yeah, don't be upset about Pride merch at Target because next to it is a fucking Nick Bosa jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Grow up. We had this figured out in the 90s. Why do we go backwards?
I know.
Like, why did we go backwards, man? Shit. It felt like things were okay for a second. A half second, things felt okay socially.
Well, listen, Brian, I know we like to come in at just under an hour, but this little kitty has to go to a rehearsal, and I want to plug the show.
Meow. Go ahead.
Meow. So, it is called The Process. It is at the Impro, which is just north of Hollywood Boulevard on Vermont. And The Process is actually a really fun improv format where we show the staging of a play from audition all the way to opening night, and it's all improvised. And so that's the 3rd, the 4th, the 9th, and the 10th of September. I mean, I'm sorry. You're like, well, you're going to be waiting a while, people. 3rd, 4th, 9th, 10th. Yes.
November.
Actually, 2nd, 3rd, 9th, and 10th of November. Uh-huh. At 9, I believe. So yeah, if you're listening and you're in LA and you want to check that out, I'm very excited about that. So please check it out.
Also, Julian and I are taking the show literally on the road. Guantanamo Bay has got a spank slot at Upright Citizens.
At Universal Studios.
Yeah. Well, Upright Citizens Brigade, UCB, the famous improv theater, is giving us a shot.
I wonder if they've listened.
We submitted us as a sketch, as a variety show. We do sketch. Julian does musical improv. I do stand-up. And UCB is giving us a trial run at the end of November. We'd love to have as many people as they can to come out and watch us.
Yeah, I want to start putting the word out now. So that way, by the time we get to the show, we could have all of our listeners chilling. I was about to close the computer. I'm so sorry.
That would have fucked a lot of stuff up.
Would we have lost everything we just said?
Not everything, but let's just not even cross that
bridge. Okay. And you saw me slowly closing tabs. I was like, I'm just done with this computer.
Yeah.
But when's the show, Brian? I'm frantically flipping through my little
Moleskine. It's November 27th. It's going to be at 5:30.
How the fuck is it not in here? I need to write this shit down.
You should write it down.
Yeah, and musical improv, as Brian said, super fucking fun. We make up musicals on the spot.
And if we do well, then they're going to give us regular spots. And so we'd love to be able...
So we really, really need you guys to come and laugh loud.
And we're going to put on the best talent show this town's ever seen.
Yes, please.
And save the community center. But from the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
Thank you, and good night.
Hasta luego.